I'd like to start with a story about a little four-year-old boy named Adam. He was a very active boy, and his mom and dad decided one day that they would sand down and restain their deck. And they figured it would be a lot easier if Adam was taken care of. So the mother called up her sister and asked if she would watch Adam for the day. And the aunt absolutely loved doing this, loved spending time with Adam. So Aunt Mary decided that she would kind of sketch out what the day would look like. And then Mary was a very good elementary school teacher, and she knew that to get buy-in, she would need to let Adam plan some of the day. So she did do that, and when she went to pick up Adam, she said, "Adam, where would you like to go for breakfast?" And he said, "Oh, I would love to go out for a breakfast buffet where you can choose what you want, and I really like that restaurant, Leon's, up on Michigan Avenue." So she said that would be great. So they went and had the breakfast buffet, had plenty of bacon. I know Brian would like that. Then the aunt said, "I've got us tickets to go to Greenfield Village. We can walk around," and that's what they did. They walked around, looked at some of the historical homes, and saw some of the interpreters. And then they took a ride on the Model T, they went on the carousel, and finally, the best part, they had some frozen custard at the frozen custard house. Then the aunt said, "Adam, where would you like to go for lunch?" And he goes, "Oh, my favorite restaurant, McDonald's." So she asked him which one he wanted to go to, and he said, "The one that they just recently remodeled on Telegraph. It used to be the 50s McDonald's. Now it looks really sleek." So they went to the restaurant, and Adam ordered a Happy Meal, a chicken nugget, a McNuggets Happy Meal. But he was really good. To show his aunt how healthy he was, instead of getting French fries, he got cut up carrots instead. And then the aunt, after having that lunch, said, "Why don't we go to the Detroit River Walk and walk off some of these calories?" So they did. They went to the Detroit River Walk and walked and walked. And finally, the aunt said, "Well, it's around dinner time, but as long as you don't tell Mom and Dad, how about we return to my apartment and we can watch some DVDs, and for dinner, I will make us microwave popcorn." And so Adam's like, "Yeah," you know, thinking what a great aunt he had. So he said, "Could we watch some DVDs of some old episodes of Star Trek?" And she said, "Sure, I've pulled a few DVDs that are appropriate for you, and I've got some Star Trek ones." So they went back to the aunt's apartment in Dearborn, got cleaned up a little bit, and the aunt popped in one of the DVDs, and he started watching, and the aunt said, "While you're watching the first one, I will go and make us some microwave popcorn." So his aunt, much like when I cook, she knew the microwave popcorn was ready when the smoke detector went off. And so she went in the kitchen, carefully opened up the bags, they were still kind of smoking, poured the popcorn into the bowls, and actually the aunt was really kind of happy, really proud of herself, because she liked making kind of charred popcorn. And so they watched the DVD, and eventually Adam's parents came to pick him up. And as they were driving home, his mom said, "Tomorrow's church, so you need to take a bath tonight. And while you're in the bathtub, I want you to think about prayer, because before we pray tonight, we could just speak to God like we usually do, but tonight I'd like to focus in on a genre of prayer, a prayer of thanksgiving. So I would like for you to think about all of the things that you are thankful for that your aunt did with you. So Adam did that, and when they knelt down by his bedside to pray, his mom closed her eyes, Adam closed his eyes, and Adam said, God, I thank you for my aunt taking me to Leon's today for my favorite breakfast. I thank you for her taking me to Greenfield Village and riding on the Model T and on the carousel, and especially that frozen custard was great. I thank you so much for allowing her to take me to McDonald's and choose what I would eat for lunch. I thank you for her taking me to the Riverwalk and having that cool breeze and the sound of the water. I thank you for her having us skip dinner and instead watch Star Trek. And then all of a sudden it got real quiet. It was actually uncomfortable. And his mom popped open one eye, and Adam's there staring right at his mom with both eyes open. And she's like, Adam, what's wrong, honey? And Adam goes, do you think if I thank God for that terrible burnt popcorn, God will know that I'm lying? Okay, so I purposely started with that story to let you know that we are going to spend a couple of weeks talking about prayer. But before we talk about prayer, let's talk about Star Trek a little bit. Who remembers on the spaceship when people would go and they would stand on these little circular pads and they would be whisked away to another part of the ship or another planet? Who remembers what that's called? Chris? Transporter? Yeah, transporter, that's right. And who remembers what the tagline of Star Trek was? What was that? I think it was to go where no other man would dare to go or something like that. Okay. And you can tell how old Star Trek is because that is really politically incorrect. It should be to go where no person or individual. Who remembers the front of this cover sheet? John, you should remember this. The front of the bulletin. Who remembers what that is called? Anybody? Communicator. Okay. A communicator reminds me of the cell phones that most of us have today. John has probably a cell phone that is most like the communicator, because you still have a flip-up, don't you? That's right. Okay, I remember him telling our adult education class about that one Sunday. So some of you probably know that I am working on a master's degree at Dubuque Seminary. And the three big buzzwords when you go on campus are relationship, communication, and telling your story. Those are the three most important things. And when you think about it, if you look out that window, those windows over there, you can see how God communicates with us on a regular basis. Okay? He communicates with us through nature, through music, through art, through architecture. There are many ways, through scripture, through fellow Christians. God wants to have a relationship with us, and we can only have that relationship if we communicate with him. Now, I don't know about you, but I get really excited whenever I get a ping on my phone or it makes a little noise because I know I have a text message, or if somebody is trying to call me, you know, their name comes up, and it, by the way, I do have this turned off, if you're wondering. Were you going to call me, Brian? I'm sorry? Oh, the other pocket. Okay, very good. So God calls us on a daily basis. If you remember a few weeks ago when I did a message, I mentioned the architect Mies van der Rohe, the German architect, much like the architect that designed this building, that said less is more. Mies also had another saying, and he would say, God is in the details. And I think that's so true. When you look at any form of nature, you can see how detailed it is. Now, when I've been trying to keep a habit up, and I challenge you to do the same thing, whenever I touch my cell phone, I think to myself, when was the last time I talked to God today? To remind me how important prayer is. Do you remember when Jesus showed his wrath in the temple, when he was angry at the money changers and the people that were selling sacrificial animals, taking up space where people would normally stand? He said, my house is a house of prayer. My house is a house of prayer, not a house of education, not a house of meetings, not a house of stained glass or music. My house is a house of prayer. Now, there are many genres of prayer, and this week we're going to talk about two of them. And to make this message way more interesting than I can make it myself, I have asked a couple of people to join me. And so one at a time, I'm going to first ask Ben, if Ben Dickinson will come up. And Ben is, you can have a seat right there, Ben. And there's water, help yourself. Ben is going to talk about an inward type of prayer, a prayer that most of us use throughout our lifetime. But especially as a young person, I think many times we are trying to discover our why in life, you know, why we're here, what our purpose is. So I'm going to kind of run this like a talk show, and I'm going to ask Ben a few questions. So Ben, do you have a regular prayer routine, like a place or a time or a style of prayer?
I actually don't. I just kind of pray whenever I feel the need to.
Okay, very good. And when do you feel the need to?
Usually whenever I'm just sad, or maybe if I'm mad, but occasionally I usually just pray to God whenever I'm thankful for my blessings.
Okay, very good. Very good. And why do you pray to God?
I pray to God because it kind of helps me strengthen my relationship with Him.
Okay, very good. And what are you asking of God when you seek for Him to change or transform you?
I think really when I'm asking that, I'm trying to get Him to kind of pour His word into my mind so that I can kind of remember what He wants of me to do throughout my life.
Very good, Ben. So does God speak to you and reveal His will?
Well, kind of indirectly, but through the church, through my parents, and just through my friends, I can kind of hear what He may want of me through them, or just through any faithful person.
Okay, very good. And can you think of a lesson that Jesus taught about how a follower must change or transform?
Probably when He healed the blind man, and how when He did so, He kind of showed the wonders of God, and
Okay, very good. So, Ben, how can we earn God's grace?
You can only earn God's grace by believing in God.
Okay. So God's grace is really a gift. It's not something that we can earn, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, you just finished up confirmation, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good job. I knew it would be hard to kind of trip up somebody that's just gone through confirmation. So, Ben, can you give me a definition of unconditional? What does it mean to be unconditional?
That there are really no conditions that are needed in order to reach a task.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you, Ben. Thanks for coming up. So besides the story that Ben told us about, the Bible is full of stories of people that were transformed by God. And I'm going to read you one right now that comes from Luke. And I know you've all heard this before. It's called The Parable of the Two Men Who Prayed. And as I read this, I'll ask Chris Meyer to come up. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but instead beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the man who went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. So in this parable, we see how God will transform people who humble themselves so that they can learn in this case that they need to ask God to meet their needs on a regular basis. Our needs are met and we receive God's provision as unconditional grace and love. Now the second form of prayer, Chris, you can come up. The second form of prayer we're going to talk about is one that Chris is so good at, and I know she's so good at, because we go around the table every time we have a staff meeting, and we offer God prayer. And Chris does a great job of upward prayer, which is prayer that really honors God. So Chris, we'll start out. Why don't you tell us your story about prayer?
Well, prayer hasn't always been a really big deal to me. I think that, like most of you, when I was young, I met Jesus or accepted Jesus in my youth, and I kind of thought I had it all figured out what this Christianity was all about. I thought if you loved God, you were a good person, you did what was right, that pretty much you were protected from any bad things happening. And it worked until it didn't. And about 25 years ago, my mother-in-law, who was the most godly woman that I'd ever met, got a terminal illness. And, you know, our family just prayed and prayed and just asked God to heal her, and he didn't. And it just devastated me. I mean, everything that I thought that I knew in life and was secure about in my faith, kind of shattered for a little while. And then I realized I had two choices. One, I had to decide whether or not God was real and he was trustworthy. Because if he wasn't, then I had to start all over. But the other thing is I had to challenge my assumptions. My husband is always telling me to do this, to think about what you think you know and to start to ask questions. And so what I did was I really started looking up scripture, and I found that what I thought was true about God was not. In fact, when in the book of John, Jesus said, you know, I will give you peace, but in this life there will be tribulation. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And so starting with that premise, I began to rebuild. And so now, 25 years later, my faith has grown so much. So.
Thank you, Chris. So, Chris, do you have a prayer routine? Do you have a certain place or time that you pray?
I do. First thing in the morning, I grab a cup of coffee and I go to a small oak writing desk that Brian bought for me early in our marriage, and I sit down and I have prayer time. Quite a long time ago, I heard a speaker talk about prioritizing God by making an appointment with the King, as she said. And so I decided I would put it on my calendar. And I knew that first thing in the morning was really the only time that I probably wouldn't get interrupted. And then what I do is I, in order to stay on task, I usually do a brief devotional and then I journal maybe what I'm thinking about or praying for.
Very good. So why do you pray to God, Chris?
Because I think he wants a relationship with us. If we look at the gospel and we see that he went through the agony of sending Jesus and the death and resurrection in order to restore us to relationship with him, then I want to be a part of that relationship. And it's a two-way street. So rather than just learning about him, I think it's important to communicate with him as well.
Very good. So what do you say to God in order to praise him?
I usually acknowledge him as creator and redeemer. I'm just in awe. I think, you know, I usually just start my prayers usually just by thanking him for the grace and just for everything that he's given. And I think mostly it just comes out of the gratitude, you know, right. But acknowledging him that way.
Very good, very good. So does God speak to you? How does he reveal his magnificence?
Those are tough questions, but I really believe he does. For me, like I said, I've been journaling about 25 years. When I was going through the crisis with my mother-in-law, I began to journal because I wanted to have a record of what I was praying for and how God might be responding. And so anyway, I journal now, and I believe that I oftentimes will come to him and ask for things that I need or that other people need, and I believe that he, in answering prayers for other people, I journal that. But also, I think some of the most basic ways is that when I'm anxious or afraid, I sense his peace and his calm. The other thing is I think he speaks wisdom. For our needs, he grants information with a spiritual, you know, connotation, and that we can apply. And so I think looking back over 25 years of journaling, I believe that he does answer. But also, as Ben said, you know, through people, through circumstances, I've learned that there aren't too many coincidences. Seems like there's a lot of God incidences.
Very good. So can you, Chris, think of a lesson that Jesus taught about how we should worship God?
Yes. In Romans 12, 1 through 3, Paul was talking to the Romans and saying, offer yourselves, your bodies as a living sacrifice, and that's our spiritual act of worship. And he was talking about not conforming to this world, but being transformed and allowing us to reveal God and to worship God by doing things the way God wanted us to do them.
Okay, very good. Chris, how do we earn God's grace?
I really don't think we can. I think, though, it's an act of will. I think that if we receive Jesus Christ as Lord, I think that part of what we get in terms of our inheritance as believers is that he gives us unmerited favor. That's what I think grace is.
Very good. So can you give me a definition of unconditional, Chris?
I think that unconditional is just, there's no limit. It's absolute.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Chris. Thanks. So as Chris makes her way back to her seat, I'd like to read you Psalm 146 in closing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no help. While his breath departs, he returns to his earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves his righteousness. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. The Lord, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. So, when we take time to have a conversation with God on a daily basis, we can thank him for this free gift of unconditional love. A love that is unlocked with the key of prayer and leads us through Jesus Christ to the Father himself. So, once again, I challenge you, each time this week when you touch your cell phone, think about when was the last time you spoke to God. And next week, just so you know, we will cover two forms of prayer, prayer of supplication, in which you insistently pray to God over and over and over. And then also the prayer of intercession, which is praying for others. And next week we have a couple of speakers, Marge Engstrom and Noreen from the young adult group. So look forward to that. Amen.